Questions for the interview podcast with Frank Göbel.
Welcome back to a new episode of Questions 4. Today, I'm joined by an exciting artist from the UK. He's been steadily building a name for himself through his music that connects emotion and very personal identity. In this conversation, we dive into his journey so far, the creative process behind the sound, and what the future looks like for him as an independent artist. I say hello and welcome to Kurt Lloyd. Hi.
How's it going? Thanks for having me. That's a really kind introduction as well, you know. So yeah, thank you very much.
I'm trying my best.
No, it's great. I appreciate all your support as well, you know, on the page and stuff. You know, every little helps. I think you're probably one of my first fans that, you know, I don't actually know or I've not met face to face yet. So, yeah, it's good to we'll get some reach somewhere, especially out into Germany and all that.
Yeah. I'm really looking forward to this interview. But first, I have to ask about your name, Kurt. It looks very German, like Kurt. It's a very normal name here in Germany. Is there any connection, or is it just coincidence?
There's a few connections. One of them, my dad liked. I've been told it was like Kurt Cobain was part of it. Because at the time I was born, like the 90s, that's the big one. Now, the story I was told as well, and this isn't true because I've looked into it, is that Kurt was like the German equivalent of John, or the German version. I think my dad got it wrong on that one, but I think basically like John's a very popular name over here. Kurt's a popular name in Germany. And I think it was like that's what he sussed at the time. And I had a granddad called John, so... It's very niche, and me and my brother have got really, really weird names. But, it's unique, right? So I like it.
Okay. So your friends call you Kurt or Lloyd?
Kurt's my actual name. Yeah. It's weird because, like, obviously, I kind of nicked the whole Lloyd the Music idea off Jesse Wells, the American guy, because he's called Jesse and his surname's Wells. And he just calls himself Wells, and I was like, oh yeah, I'll just start calling myself Kurt Lloyd.
Yeah.
But then some people now call me Lloyd online, and I do have not overcorrect them. Like, people call me what they want, I don't mind. Like, you know, it's like, you know, you're not swearing at me or all like that.
Yeah, okay, very cool. To start off, for people who might not know you yet, how would you describe yourself as an artist and as a person? Very easy question, right?
As a person, bloody hell, that's hard.
Yeah.
I'm the kindest, most loving, you know, thing. No, I'm joking. I'm as an artist, it's probably a little bit easier, really. As an artist, I'd say, I mean, we're all searching for like an artist identity. It's always the most difficult thing that I'm always thinking about. And that probably changes with me. Depending on who I'm listening to, I think probably to like cut a long story short, I'd like to see myself as like that kind of singer-songwriter vibe, but you know, with like serious folk influences, but I can't ignore my sort of indie scene roots where it all began. So I hate saying the indie scene, but you know, I was big into like, I think the first band I got into was like Joy Division and all the sort of punk, that new wave stuff, leading on to like Oasis and all that sort of stuff, Buzzcocks. And you probably will see that in my music, like sometimes it can be quite fast, but I really got into like the last few years, like the singer-songwriter, especially on like the folk scene, like, you know, Donovan, Bob Dylan, and then more modern ones as well, like particularly like Jesse Wells and stuff. I think that was like, so it all kind of bleeds into this like sort of mess that is Kurt Lloyd, really. It's a mixture of indie, a mixture of like folk, you know, like sort of like Frank Turner vibe, Jake Bugg, that sort of thing. You know, they all cite Dylan as an influence, but they've all got their own unique style, which kind of comes out of all the other sort of English music.
Okay, that's funny because the first time I have heard your music, I thought of Jake Bugg. to be honest.
Yeah. How did you hear my music? I can't actually remember.
I think the wonder of algorithm on Instagram brought us together.
Yeah. And I mean, that algorithm's not working too hot for me at the moment. You know, I'm glad it reached you, but you know, I'm trying to reach every bloody bugger else at the moment.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. No, I'm always looking for new music, to be honest. And I saw your reel on Instagram, and I said, really cool guy. And I thought, yeah, give him a like and maybe write him a message. And wow, he replies.
Do you know what? No, I really appreciate it, because it is nice to actually reach out to people who are actually genuinely interested in it.
Yeah.
And it's hard to build a real following, you know. There's people who've got their mates or their family following. That doesn't really mean anything, you know. You can pay whoever you want to come down your gigs.
Yeah.
You actually want real people who you've never met before. That's how it starts. And you know, that one share that you might whack on a post or a comment that could add 2-3, you know. So no, I really, really appreciate it. And I'm really glad you like my stuff. It means a lot.
Unless that's good enough for her. Back to your music. Can you take us back to the beginning? How did you get in touch with music? Was music at home a topic?
Well, you know, in the beginning, if we go all the way back, God created the heavens and the earth, and obviously guitars and stuff. And I'm messing. So for me, it goes back to, I was 9 years old.
Okay.
And I remember my mom was trying to get me into music at the time. I was not really interested, to be honest. But I never really had a thing that was mine. I played a bit of footy as a kid, but I never loved it. Do you know what I mean? Sports and stuff.
Yeah.
I was never really a sporty kid or out like that. I saw these old men on the TV, on the BBC at the time. Mm. And that was as some reason, and it's weird, isn't it? Because you'd think it would be Noel Gallagher or John Lennon or something, but it wasn't. It was just these four old men who I can't even remember who they were. They were playing instruments. So I said to my mum, I was can I learn the guitar? So I got lessons. Firstly, it was on the classical guitar, but I was never really interested in it. I just always wanted to play the electric guitar. But now, looking back, I'm I wish I'd have mastered the classical guitar, because, you know, all the greats, Jimmy Page, that you know, look, but I didn't want to know at that time. I just wanted to get a new, you know, Squire Strat and just plug it into an amp and make noise. And that kind of stuck for 5 or 6 years. I always played live, but with my local music group. But I wasn't writing songs. Come to the time about college was when I discovered that I was never a naturally good guitarist either. That's another thing about me. But the one thing I did kind of find a knack for was songwriting. And I started writing songs about when I was 18 years old. Little Dudes, Big Dudes, band at the time, thought we were going to be massive. Labrells, check them out. They've got some stuff on YouTube. That's some of the really early stuff. Mm. You know, we had a really good time growing up, but it kind of all fell apart. People moved away from uni. It just kind of imploded. Some other people ended up in other bands that did really good stuff. And I kind of lost a little bit of touch with music, to be honest. It's just become again, the guitar in the corner, that sort of thing. Anyways, a few years ago, some of my mates came around and they basically go and pick it up, play that. I was all right then, fine. So I started playing them some tunes, and they were bloody hell, they're really good tunes. Is that, you're really good. I was it's the thing I used to do. they kind of encouraged me, and God bless them, you know, I'm very thankful for this.
Yeah.
They encouraged me to get back into it. So I got back into the local circuit. We've got a really good venue at the moment called Sunbird Records, which is run by it's one of those, it's going to be one of those venues that one day people talk about in the Hacienda, I reckon, you know, that sort of style. I think it is got that really cool sort of status in the local music scene. It celebrated 10 years the other day.
Okay.
I played my first gig there. They've been really supportive in having me on in my local town. And then just went from there, really. Started writing songs, got back in the studio, got a few mates together who used to play in the band. They added drums. And then once we did the first two singles, I was like, yeah, they're all right, but I've got all this stuff to do. And I was like, do you know what? Let's do an EP. And then EP turned into album. And, you know, we just keep doing it. Like, and nothing's stopping us from doing it. Less finance, you know, it costs a bloody lot to record.
Very, very cool stories. I remember my first time I have the guitar on. My parents played guitar and they showed me some chords when I was 10, 11. And I remember the first song I could play was Champagne Supernova.
No way.
Yes, I was so proud. You couldn't believe it. And I thought, I'm the guitarist here in this household. No, I was just a bloody amateur. And the next one was Supersonic, of course. The riff.
Yeah.
I think everyone can play that. But back to you. I think it's one thing to learn the technique to play guitar, and the other thing is to write songs. I think you don't can learn that, or you have to got to have talent for this, right?
I fully agree.
Yeah.
And again, this isn't, look, I might in my deluded head, I might be like, just because I have a bit of a few theories on this, and I've seen other people who've confirmed it. Bob Dylan, I think I read somewhere where he says this, and I've definitely heard Noel Gallagher say it, and it's like this idea that the songs are there and you're kind of almost like, you know, some sort of prophetic figure who just catches them out of the sky and brings them down to earth to, like, you know, preach to the rest of the world or the mortal. I generally believe there is something in that, and I've heard a lot of people discuss that. What I would say, very rare that I will sit down and I'll be like, pick up that thing and be like, I'm going to write a song about, you know, whatever, like something on the news.
Yeah.
Some people can do that. Jesse Wells, because he writes like current stuff. I can't. The songs kind of come naturally to me. And that's not me trying to be like all pretentious and weird about it. Like, it genuinely is that. It's just something comes into my head. And the one thing I would say about that is I can kind of tell as well when other people have just been like, this is my personal opinion, and again, we've all got opinions. Music is opinion. It's not objective.
Yeah.
I can tell when a band's like sat down, I think, in my opinion, and like, we need to write a song. Get this song out. And I dread the day that happens to me, because right now I feel like I'm always picking stuff up, creative. I'll get the song and I'll, like, you know, mum it into my phone or whatever. Put a few riffs down, and then I've built the song off whatever that initial sort of scratch that I've got from it. And while I keep, like, things keep coming to me, like, I'll just keep doing that. I do worry one day there will be a day where it's just like, yeah, you're up, you've got nothing more left to pick out of the sky, you've had your lot, sort of thing.
Okay. And with all the songwriting and the playing, I think the learning never stops on the technique side, right? There's always something new to discover.
Well, I've always said this, like, people, I once said the other week, I was like, again, I'm talking like I'm some sort of visionary on the guitar. I'm definitely not. I said this the other week, I was like, if I could live for the entirety of, like, you know, if I was immortal, I reckon I could spend the entire eternity trying to master the guitar. I don't think that you'll ever, you can never master the guitar, because there's like a million different styles, isn't there? Like, and you could just, if you had an infinity time, you'd just create your own styles. So, yeah, you could spend an entire lifetime, if not more, trying to master that thing. You'll never, ever be good enough, and you'll never, ever think you're good enough. And there will always be someone who's picks it up off you and just makes you feel like, oh, man, you know what I mean? I'm really stuck at this thing.
Yeah, I know. Earlier, you described your first gig at the venue, you have told. What was it like to be on the stage to play your songs in front of people?
It was weird to be back, because there was a lot of people who came down to that gig. So that wasn't like my first gig as a solo artist. So I'd played gigs before, but I was always like a lead guitarist and songwriter. I didn't ever want the pressure of song, you know, being a singer songwriter. One, because I couldn't sing, and, well, still can't really, but it was always a it was nice to get back and do it on your own terms, sort of thing, because that's the beauty of this. Like, if you're in a band, like, this is my honest belief. If you keep for the rest of your life just doing something, if I keep releasing songs and I keep releasing albums, I know I don't have infinity funds to fund it, but you know, hopefully if I can keep doing that, someone's eventually going to notice. You're going to get a following eventually. Do you know what I mean? I never had the... I've lost my train of thought here. I think with bands, this is where people come unstuck, is bands break apart. And ultimately, being a singer-songwriter, this is all on my terms. So if I one day decide I want to end it, I can end it. I ain't going to do that. Yeah. But if I was in a band, there's always that risk that, you know, the drummer, like, you know, goes and finds Jesus or whatever, or, you know, gets a new girlfriend, whatever, and disappears off or joins a cult, you know what I mean? Like, there's always that risk.
Yeah.
So at least in a band, you can keep it on your own terms. So it was class to, like, play. And there's a lot of people who came down who, like, I'd seen over the years at bands and stuff. And just to play some of the old songs, I think the original set I did was all, like, my old band songs and a few newies. But, yeah, we're definitely, like, carving out my own identity now with it. And most of, like, my songs now are purely stuff I've got from recent years.
When you write a song and you finish it, maybe recording it, is a song finished ever? So are there some points where you say, yeah, I better play this chord there or another riff here?
That's a good question. I think some of my early recordings, I look back now and I'm like, yeah, change that. And I would definitely go back if I could record them again and record certain things. Stuff that I'm doing now, I'm pretty content with it's finished. There's certain songs where I'm like, yeah, that's finished. That All Things Back Around, I look at that song and I'm like, yeah, sound. There's nothing more I could add to that.
Yeah.
Maybe I look back at, like, so Born for Better Days. There's a few lyrics in that. I'm like, yeah, I'd change that now. Okay. The Streets, I'd change that. But it's all a learning process. Yeah. I'm trying to be a bit more... But also as well, and this is another interesting thing, songs, and my producer at the time said this, he's like, you shouldn't get too hell-bent on a song because you can always re-record it if you want to.
Yeah.
Now, very interestingly, recently I was listening to some of the demos by the Velvet Underground, and it's demos of songs you've probably heard, like Satellite of Love, all that sort of stuff. Now, there's different lyrics in that, and it's a lot more rockier. But it's still the same song. Yeah. It's just a different flavour.
Yeah.
And it's great to listen to. So, you know, there's no rule saying that you can't just go back and record something different later. Yeah. And you've still got this, there's still the song. Yeah. It's just a different version, isn't it? Like, people do that all the time. Yeah. So I'm trying not to get too, like het up about it these days. The song will be the song in the moment. We'll release the song. And if we need to come back to it later, you know, when I get a record deal, fingers crossed, we'll mess around with it, you know, and then you've got you've got another variation of it.
And I think the good thing, if you play it live, you can change the lyrics or a chord for yourself.
Yeah, right? I'm murdered for changing lyrics when I'm playing live.
Okay.
I forget most of them.
Really?
Yeah, really bad for it. My mate will call me out all the time. Connor, a drummer, he'll be like,
"Yeah,
that's not Josephine." And I was like, mate, it was better than just saying nothing.
Ooh, ouch.
Yeah. Which is worse when people notice.
Yeah, I will. Okay.
But go figure from that, yeah. What can you do?
You've been growing your presence through Instagram. How important has social media been for your journey as an artist so far?
Social media is the bane of my existence.
Yeah.
Do you know what? I don't know.
Yeah.
It's weird. Maybe I'm just... I know you've had a few bands on. You mentioned one band recently, and I won't name them. And they've shot up through social media recently.
Yeah.
And it clearly does have an impact. I don't know yet if I'm still in that fledgling stage. I've tried to post more and more consistently.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's done more damage to my algorithm. I don't know.
Okay.
Like, you know, pleasing the algorithm overloads. What I will say is like the people who are quite regular commentators, like yourself now and followers on it, like it's all people I don't know. So maybe at the end of the day, like that's, you know, it's important as anything, because like if I hadn't done a post or something, I wouldn't be here right now, and we wouldn't be talking, and you know, putting that next extra brick in the sort of the wall that is trying to build the following. So it is important. I wish.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I wish we could do without it, because it does take up a lot of time. You know what I mean? It is quite time consuming making content, and I'd rather just be playing the guitar and writing songs. But then you're like, well, how else are you going to get out there? You know what I mean? It's a free way to do it. So it's got its pros, it's got its cons. I find it important. If I could go back to like doing without it, could I? Yeah. But I'd rather just have like a social media manager or something. That'd be handy. And I could just, I'd just live as like a monk and not have any of all that shy.
Okay. Yeah. Do you feel like platforms like Instagram give independent artists more freedom, or do they also add pressure to constantly perform and post? We talked about it. You talked about it.
I think it's weird. You're right. Because it looks, the problem is it looks so bloody simple. You'll see someone who's doing something, you're like, that's easy.
It's so hard.
You'll put yourself on, but it isn't. It's like, you don't know what's going to, and the one thing that annoys me now is it's like, it seems to be that the algorithm's like geared to like doing negative stuff, and like either trying to one use like psyops to try and trick people, as in like, you know, use like the certain color of writing to like addict their brain into following it, or use some sort of clickbait thing to try and drag them in, and or do something really offensive or controversial, like, you know, wrap your fucking guitar around someone's head or something like that. The other side that you see, and I don't want to be that. I find it really unauthentic, and I don't like it, and I don't want to be that person. Like, you know, ultimately, like, if I'm doing this, I want to do it for me and do it on my terms. I ain't gonna start like making like daft clickbait. I ain't gonna be like one of these, and this is another thing, I ain't gonna be one of these people who are like, I'm your new next favorite band, or are you into this band? Because that to me, just that's like the worst thing in the world for me. If I see that, I block people who put that on, because it annoys me.
Yeah.
It's one of those, isn't it? Like, it's tough.
Yeah.
Using it.
Yeah. And I think, if you do this, we are the new band, you have to follow us. I think you lose a lot of identity through this.
But then, like, who can blame them? They're just trying to do what everyone else is doing.
Sure.
So, like, we're all just victims of our own environments, aren't we, really? You know what I mean? So, you can't blame new bands for doing stuff. I don't know what I don't like at the moment. And again, there's certain bands that are blowing up at the moment. A lot of it is like, ultimately, you know, if people put any comment on a video drives it up as interest, because the algorithm can't differentiate between negative and bad, you know, all press is good press, even bad press. And you see some bands who, half the comments are just negative comments of people hating on them.
Yeah.
And that seems to like drive, I mean, I know there's a lot of jealous people, especially in England, anyway. But, you know, you don't want to be that sort of person either, do you? That's kind of just feeding off rage bait, whether intentionally or unintentionally.
Yeah.
And I reckon there's a mix. There's some people who definitely just try and rage bait people into listening. And others, well, people just don't like them. But that drives them up, gets them more exposure and more streams. It's a weird one, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like, you know, when people used to hate on Justin Bieber and all that. It's like, well, he's the one who's laughing. He's in the bloody mansion, and we're all, you know, messing around, kicking footballs on street corners.
Yeah.
And well, it's always over in your time, and well, you can't survive a 9-to-5. There's more to life than a 2-car drive. And well, if love was wrong, well, it was right. And well, I told you once, I told you time after time, me down. You can't sit down. You've lost your front because you stole the crown. And well, it's time to speak my mind. And well, it's always over.
Back to more important things, music. What does making music mean to you on a personal level beyond just releasing songs? What is music giving you?
There's a great scene in Kingdom of Heaven where he turns around to him and he says, "What is Jerusalem worth?" And he goes, "Nothing." He looks back at him and he goes, "Everything."
Yeah.
I would definitely not say nothing. I'd more veer towards the latter, everything.
Yeah.
I don't care if I never make any money out of this.
Yeah.
It's my life's work to just get these songs out and heard.
Yeah.
I would like an audience. That'd be nice, you know, people listening. I'm not in it for the, like, you know, I mean, no one's in music for money anyway these days because there is none. I just would like people to listen to my songs, to be honest. And if I can live out the rest of my days in my cottage in Lancashire, can record a few times a year and get at least an album out of you, you can't gig around and people actually want to come and see you for you and sing your songs back. It's everything.
Yeah,
I haven't really had that yet. I do remember when we had a song out called Pretty Little Lies years ago in the band.
Mm.
And that, when we had a proper local following, seeing people sing that, even in like a really tiny room like Live Lounge, RIP, it was really, really powerful.
Yeah.
And I really, really took that for granted at the time.
Yeah.
If it was to get somewhere like that now with some of the songs, it would be nice.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Is there a track you've released that holds a deeper meaning for you than the others? And what's the story behind it?
I think Josephine is probably the one that's got like the sort of multi-layered meanings and stuff.
Okay.
You know, it's a very allegorical. And it's almost like, that. You know, you can take it at face value, which it's the story of Napoleon Bonaparte kicking 10 bells out of Europe. And all going to, like, you know, conquering the world almost to, like, kind of prove himself to his love. I know he didn't do that, but there is an element of that. I think that when I kind of read it in the end, it was almost like, you know, you could go to the end of the world for anything, but in the end, you know, if you haven't got the one thing you want, which was obviously Josephine, you ain't got nothing. And it's that kind of, like, you know, what people do to kind of prove themselves to that and prove the worth. You know, he's obviously the extreme. I would definitely say if you map onto that, you can map on, like, you know, our own stories, mine personally as well, just the same way I'll do music, just to kind of, like, prove a point. So I think, like, if you listen to the lyrics deeply, there's, like, certain references to, like, someone in the 21st century. And it's almost like the crossover between we're all searching for greatness just to prove a point. Some people by, you know, doing crazy things like trying to conquer Russia or whatever he was doing, and others by, you know, more, less bad means, trying to make music. Yeah. So, yeah, it's all just like the sort of strength, the lengths we will go to prove ourselves for love, really, in some ways. So, yeah, that's probably the deeper meaning of that one. Other ones, yeah, I think that's the deepest one. There's other stuff on the way, which will probably be a bit easier to explain when it's out. But yeah, Josephine for now.
I have seen you've been in the studio and there's an album coming up.
There is.
When would it come out and what is it about?
Oh, difficult one. When would it come out? I think we're going to try and aim off a digital release in August. That'd be nice. All depends on mixing, mastering. I think if we can get it mixed and mastered.
Okay.
If we can get it mixed this month, we can probably get it mastered in the next few weeks, few months, and then do like a digital run, get it on Spotify. I would like to do a physical release, like actual do vinyl pressings, but I'm going to say I'm going to wait for that till next year. Yeah, I'll send you one over. Just because, you know, vinyl's great, and like there's something great about having physical media and like having it on the side. The whole album, interesting, like if I say a theme to it, and I wouldn't say that every single song follows that theme, but definitely like certain elements of it, I called it Home In It. And I think that's the first time I've revealed that, so yeah, so that's the first time it's been revealed live on your podcast. and it all kind of came out, I like the sense, like Home In It, as in, like, you know, it isn't it, this isn't where I want to be. And it goes into a poem at the start. Then it goes into a song called An Honorarium, which is like very reflective on, like, you know, like a relationship that went bad. breaks into like a song called Can't Catch Love, which is a song that I wrote years ago, which I don't think, you know, they kind of all fit together theme. You've got Born for Better Days will be on there, moving up to some other stuff as well. But like, I thought it all kind of comes up full circle with that, because it was like, you know, home in it as in like, yeah, this ain't where I want to be. But then also when you look at it, it's a double meaning. It's like, it's home, isn't it? Like, you know what I mean? Like it's home. And it's kind of like coming to terms really of like just being back after being away for a while. Things ain't as it were. Things aren't how they used to be. And just kind of like settling down and like, you know, getting back into it and stuff. I would say that's the theme of the album overall. Would I say that every song fits into that theme? Probably not. Some of them are like really like, you know, just you know, songs, but I do think I did try and like have that overarching narrative, but it's not like a concept album, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear those 10 songs, right?
Yeah, 10, looking like 10. So you've heard a few of them. Obviously, there's a few singles been released. But yeah, there's quite a lot that will be, it's probably like maybe 3 or 4 singles have been released, and then the rest is the album, you know.
I really hope there is a physical release.
No, 100%. I think what will be beautiful about it is even though you may have heard the songs, like obviously I'm not going to release every single song as a single, but it's how they like kind of flow into the next one, and how it like, how you listen to it as like an overall piece of music will be the best part for that, I think.
Very good. Are there any artists you would love to collaborate with someday, either realistically or as a dream collaboration? Hit me.
I think Bob Dylan's past it now.
I seen
him back in Leeds about 6 months ago, and he's still going, but he's going. As a dream to collaborate with someone. I mean, I'd love to collaborate with Jesse Wells. I mean, he's a great folk singer, you know. And he's kind of like new as well. I'd love to be like the Don of... If he's the new Bob Dylan, unfortunately, I can't take that mantle because I'm a Brit. I'd love to be like the next Donovan or something. So if Jesse's listening, it'd be great to jam with him one time. Because I think he kind of come around just when I was getting back into music, so he was like a big influence, because it was just that almost seemed like, you know, just an ordinary dude could do it, and he definitely gives that vibe. Noel Gallagher, he wouldn't want to collaborate with Noel Gallagher. I think he's one of the greatest songwriters around now. I think that'd be my two.
Very cool. And finally, when someone listens to your music for the first time, what do you hope they feel or take away from it?
I'd like to think that they take away the rawness and the authenticity. Like, you know, I'm writing songs because they come from the heart. Like, I write these songs. I'll never write a song where I'm like, yeah, I'm writing that, like, just to get a song out. I write a song because I like it and I think it's a good song. And there's a lot of songs and like filler songs that people like have. I don't think I've ever tried to, even some of like songs, because we all rank our songs, what's better and what's worse. I like to think all songs, I'm there to try and like, you know, write a good song. I'm not just writing filler. I hope the authenticity and like that it comes from the heart and comes from a place of like, you know, actual realness, as opposed to just, you know, just getting a song out there because I'm trying to copy whatever band or whatever's going on at the moment. I hope that resonates with you.
Kurt, that was my questions for you. I had a great time, a great conversation, and I hope you too.
Oh, mate, it was class. I really appreciate it. And thanks for all your support. Like, honestly, like, it really does mean, it really means a lot when, especially when you tagged me in something the other week, and there was like everyone was tagging themselves and stuff, and like, you know, that who's someone you're excited for, that really meant a lot. So thank you so much, and like, I really appreciate the support. And please, like, honestly, just I'm ever grateful. So thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you for your time here, and dear listeners, follow Kurt on Instagram. He's posting 3 reels on a day or so.
Trying. maybe one a day is probably the natural medium, but yeah, sometimes you get a bit few. Yeah,
but you have to follow him, and maybe one day he's in Germany for a European tour or so. We will see.
Oh, I'd love to come to Germany. I love Germany. It's a great place. So yeah, any excuse to come back. But yeah, hopefully things will pick up soon, and I'll definitely come to Germany, play around. Beautiful country.
Yeah. perfect. thank you very much for listening, and have a great day. See you next time. Bye.
See you later.
Questions for the interview podcast with Frank Göbel.